Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right with your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. We may not have all the answers, but we'll help you find them. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas, as we do every Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. Our format is 30 minutes to allow for a short lessons learned application regarding ethics. For call-ins, dial 646-478-3840 or interact in our chat room.
Hello and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right for Thursday, June the 4th. And I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I'm coming to you live from Houston, Texas, as I do every Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. And I want to remind our audience to check out our Facebook page. It is 3 a.m. Strategies. That's Facebook, 3 a.m. Strategies. And like our page, because every Thursday we post out a video called Thought Provoking Thursdays. And that's where I'll share an ethical dilemma and ask, what would you do? So make sure you check that out. And I want to remind our audience for call-ins to dial 646-478-3840 or interact in our chat room. And so today's guest is Alicia Kramer. And thank you, Alicia, for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Phyllis.
Great. Listen, Alicia, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I am a business coach, but in a little bit of an unconventional sense. So I started my hypnotherapy practice several years ago, and my training is very much in psychology, mindset, human conditioning, reconditioning, peak potential, all of that, that mindset-related area of human potential. What I found was I am a entrepreneur at heart, so I resonated a lot more with business owners, and I started to gravitate away from general hypnotherapy and into working specifically with business owners, small business owners, and entrepreneurs. And now I do business coaching, but oftentimes with an emphasis on mindset for entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. And so I was reading on your website. Do you have any books published?
I do. I have. So back in 2012, I published Hypnosis for Success, which is available on Amazon, and that was very much in alignment with using hypnosis and self-hypnosis for goal achievement. And this year I published The Outside the Box Entrepreneur, which also delves into mindset, but specifically for creating your ideal lifestyle business, so overcoming the internal challenges that have you stuck in an unfulfilling career or business, and how to utilize your mindset and utilize different strategies to create the life and business that really, really satisfies and fulfills you both financially and emotionally.
So can you share a tip or something helpful for the listeners from your new book?
Yes. So one of the things that I think will probably resonate with everyone, regardless of whether you are self-employed or you work for someone else, is self-reflection and self-honesty. It seems so simple, and yet I find that the majority of people that I encounter, myself included, on certain subjects, so I think it affects all of us to varying degrees, we feel when something isn't right. We feel when we are trying to go through the motions, but something feels really out of alignment or really out of integrity, and we push through it because we think on some level that we need to, maybe for the money, for the paycheck, for whatever justifiable reason that we're giving ourselves to continue being miserable or unhappy. But if you can be really, really, truly honest with yourself, some sincere introspection, you'll find oftentimes that what you're doing or some aspect of what you're doing is not at all what you really, truly want for your life. And in that honest assessment, you can start to make some new choices that are far more empowering. And oftentimes it is, there's something that you've been doing that maybe you've been telling yourself you have to do, when in fact that's not the truth. You can make changes, and it will drastically improve your happiness and the quality of your life.
I agree. It's just doing them. You know, just do it. You know, it's difficult sometimes. So listen. Have you ever faced an ethical dilemma? Have one that you can share with us today?
I have. And when I first was presented with this opportunity to join you on the show, Phyllis, one of the first things that popped into my mind was a huge, huge lesson for me early on in my business. And I would definitely categorize it as an ethical dilemma. And it's similar to what I just said about being honest with ourselves, with a slightly different take. So I recall earlier on in my business, when I was doing my general hypnotherapy practice, I had a woman that had contacted me to schedule a hypnotherapy session, and I could tell that something was off about it. I could feel it in my gut. And my inner guidance system was saying, do not work with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking to myself almost simultaneously, all this was taking place in my head, in my mind, in my body, as I'm on this phone consultation with this prospective client, that I needed the money in order to mm-hmm. provide for my family. So just suck it up and just do it. And
mm-hmm.
when she came in for her session, it was very apparent that she had schizophrenia, and there was just something that was a little bit off. And I remember being closed up in my office with this woman who was very, very nice, but because of the disorder, it was not really in my scope of practice to be working with her. And I
mm-hmm.
remember thinking to myself, I'm never going to put myself in this situation ever again. You know, this knowing that something isn't right for us and we do it because we think we need
mm-hmm.
to for the money. So the ethical dilemma that I brought to the table today is definitely a common one, and that is
mm-hmm.
doing something that feels completely out of alignment, completely out of integrity because we think that we need to for the paycheck or for the money. And I think that's really common in our society today.
Mm-hmm. You're correct, Alicia. Now, Alicia, how many sessions did you sign up for, and did you complete them?
I did the one session with her, and
mm-hmm.
And I proceeded very cautiously because I didn't want there to be any issues because of her disorder, and I just politely finished the session, and where in the past I would have signed the client on for additional sessions, I just
mm-hmm.
more or less ended the process there and did not pursue it. And in the future, I remember a couple of years later getting a random voice message, and she was asking to borrow my computer, which was probably one of the most random requests that I'd ever gotten from a client. And I just kind of let it go, realizing that something wasn't quite, you know, right there. But I tell you what, that was such an impactful aha moment for me that from mm-hmm. that point forward, anytime I had that gut reaction that I should not work with someone, I have very politely referred them out to a different type of provider, or said, you know, I'm not sure that my services are the right fit for you, in the most polite and respectful way possible.
Mm-hmm. So has that happened to you? Have you had to turn some people away?
I have turned clients away. And it's not even just because of extreme situations like the one that I just shared. Sometimes it just doesn't feel like the right fit. Sometimes you just have a sense that maybe you're not going to be the right fit for someone. And in those cases, I think it's common for a lot of times people to try to compensate and try to make things work. And it's just an unfair place to put either both yourself as well as the client in. And so you really just need to practice that discernment and be willing to be honest.
Yeah, because sometimes we do it anyway, and then we're mad at ourselves, and we do it begrudgingly, and it's just not worth it. It's very uncomfortable for you, and who knows, it possibly could be uncomfortable for them.
I do believe that if it doesn't feel right to you on some level, it probably does not feel right to them either. It's a tendency we have, I think it's somewhat selfish in some respects to think that we're the only one feeling a certain way. And I mean, you know, before the show came on, you and I were chatting a little bit about how some people have a really difficult time saying no. And I mentioned to you that I like to use an example with my clients, because it's not, even though when you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, of course, that's so obvious, we don't think it until we're presented with it oftentimes. And that is, if you had a really good friend that had asked you for a favor, and it was extremely challenging for you, maybe you just didn't have time or just something you really didn't want to do, and you said yes anyway, and you were bitter and resentful and it created hardship for you, and your friend found out, they would probably feel terrible that you said yes. So it can oftentimes be, I would say probably 99.9% of the time, be more empowering to the relationship to be honest. You don't have to be a jerk about saying no. You can do it in a really authentic and empowering way. And even though it might tick them off a little bit, chances are they're probably going to appreciate your honesty as opposed to your begrudging resentment.
Right. Well, listen, do you think that in that particular situation, do you think she sensed that you were uncomfortable?
I don't know, honestly. And oftentimes I can tell, because I'm very sensitive to other people, other people's emotions. I've always been very, very empathic. However, because of the disorder, I would venture to say that the moment that I felt the discomfort, she was kind of in a different mindset than we normally typically would be. So I'm not sure that she necessarily was aware, because she probably encounters that on a regular basis, but and I'm not really an expert in that area. However, I would say that in a lot of cases, we can tell when somebody is uncomfortable. More often than not, if we're in a situation and someone is really uncomfortable, we're picking up on it at some level, even if it's very subtle.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. I've been in the position where I've asked people
for, you know, to help me or do something for me, a favor. And I could tell when they were hesitant. And sometimes, though, Alicia, they would say, okay, I'll do it for you this time, but I'm really not the person to do it. And I'm just like, well, if you're not the person to do it, why are you going to do it for me one time, you know, this time? Why don't you just say no? I said that in the back of my mind, but it ended up not being their best work. So I should have taken I'm not the best person. I should have believed them when they told me that and said, hey, no problem, you know, and moved on. So, but, you know, speaking about your book and because some of my listeners are entrepreneurs, what do you think are some of the most common challenges that you see entrepreneurs struggle with?
It's a huge misconception that someone we would perceive as successful doesn't have deep-rooted insecurities. And I have to say that I work with a lot of clients everywhere from just starting a business and kind of struggling through the initial stages to I've got a client right now, without disclosing too much information for confidentiality purposes, disclosed to me that his business is currently worth $60 million. So I work with a lot of individuals at different stages in their businesses, and it does not matter where you're at. We all have various doubts and insecurities that we are struggling through. And what I found is that it's a little bit different from the business owner who's just getting started. They tend to think that once they achieve a certain level of success, that the insecurities will just sort of fall away. So their doubts are a little bit different. They're focused a little bit different than an entrepreneur who is more established and more successful. But confidence issues, self-esteem issues, feeling secure are huge mindset obstacles for virtually every entrepreneur that I work with. We just all have different things that we have felt and repressed and that we struggle against, regardless of what level of success we're at.
Wow. So do you think a person's mindset affects their how successful they are?
Absolutely. I would say undoubtedly. So, I mean, we can break that down to the most practical examples. If you're into anything, whether it's a sport or music or art or playing a game, we can all relate to times when we felt confident and how we performed better versus when we were feeling really insecure or we had a lot of doubt or we just expected ourselves to fail. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So our mindset is absolutely linked to our level of success as well as our level of personal fulfillment.
So how does one overcome this mindset?
Well, it's a process, and certainly some challenges are easier for us to overcome than others. I'm working with clients. I use a lot of different techniques based upon the client's receptiveness and their needs. And sometimes it's as easy as creating new experiences at the subconscious level of the mind. It could be visualization exercises. In other cases, when we've got these challenges or these subconscious beliefs or patterns that really trip us up, you know, the kind that you just always seem to be struggling with, those require a little bit deeper level of work, and there we'll do maybe some hypnosis or other what I call clearing techniques that help us to shift out of some of those patterns that, you know, if we liken it to grooves, you know, that you're digging in the soil, the more you practice a behavior, the deeper that groove becomes. And so we need to actually go in there and kind of rewire ourselves, in a sense, or recondition our mind with respect to that old pattern or belief.
Mm-hmm. So subconsciously, do you think our subconscious mind is bad?
Not at all. Without our subconscious mind, we could not breathe. Our heart would not pump blood. Oh. We would be overloaded by the most trivial things that we take for granted, like walking, breathing, writing, tying our shoes. The subconscious mind is an absolutely essential part of who we are and how we function. Where we run into challenges is that the subconscious mind is not discerning, whereas our conscious mind, we can determine, I like this about myself, I don't like that behavior, that is causing me pain, that belief is not serving me anymore. The subconscious mind is not discerning. It is like an operating system on your computer. What you put in, it's going to do it. It doesn't discern. It doesn't say, hey, I don't think that's so good for you. I don't think that's so good to be running, running as you're operating. So we just have to treat the subconscious mind as the amazing mechanism that it is and not judge it. Because, again, it does not have its own consciousness, but once we understand how it operates and some of the things that we believe or the conditioning that we have that is not so good for us because it hurts us or it interferes with our happiness and our well-being, those are the things we want to begin to recondition or release, whatever. There's a lot of terms and jargon that's thrown around pertaining to our mindset and the subconscious mind. But one thing that I think is really important is to understand that the subconscious mind in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's an absolutely essential part of who we are as human beings and our ability to function.
But a lot of times we don't listen to it.
Well, the subconscious is kind of running the show, so to speak. You know, it really is operating 24/7, 365. So when we are encountering things that are, let's say, negative, and we try to sometimes repress them, that can become very disempowering for us. Being in denial about something certainly does not help. In a lot of cases, all relates to that. However, another challenge that I see with, I've personally experienced it, and I've seen a lot of my clients go through it as well, is they start to become so obsessed with all of the things that are wrong that they're focusing all of their energy and attention on fixing these things that are quote-unquote wrong. And that is a really slippery slope, because once you get fixated, you'll never stop finding things that are quote-unquote wrong or could be fixed. So you need to find this balance between being honest with yourself about what you're experiencing so that you can be proactive about changing the things that are disempowering, and simultaneously, you know, you do have to always practice that discernment. Let it go, you know, also to an extent. So if you've got a problem, yes, you find a solution, right? But then continue living your life. Continue focusing on your goals, your aspirations. You continue to find the good in your life, the things that you're grateful for. And that really becomes kind of that balancing act with regard to our conditioning and our subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm. So, Alicia, how did you get started in this?
Well, you know, I like to share the most relevant story.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've always been interested in health and wellness and things like that, but it wasn't until 2005 I was out with some girlfriends and I was given a date rape drug. And when I came to, I had been physically and sexually assaulted and I was struggling with symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. And the quality of my life had gotten so bad that I was in a chronic state of fear, anxiety. I was in so much emotional pain that eventually I reached a point where I literally made this decision that either I had to find a cure, a real solution, or it was going to end up killing me because my quality of life was so bad. And mm-hmm. I went online and I remember booking appointments with every type of alternative health practitioner I could find in a 3.5-hour radius of where I live. And mm-hmm. one of the things that, there was actually two things that were more significantly impactful and empowering than all of the other stuff combined. One of those was hypnotherapy, and the other was EFT, which is short for emotional freedom techniques.
Mm-hmm.
From that experience, it had such a profound effect on my life and literally just changed me so significantly in such positive ways, because I'd always struggled with self-esteem issues and things like that. And some of the stuff that was not even necessarily related to the incident, I noticed was starting to improve. So I actually I became an EFT practitioner first. I did that back in 2006. And I did have some clients, and I kind of kept doing it part-time, but it wasn't enough to pay the bills, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In 2008, fast forward, I found out I was pregnant. It was a huge surprise. I was managing a cell phone store, and I could not bear the thought of someone else raising my child while I was sitting at a job that I really honestly did not want to be at. I was miserable,
mm-hmm.
and that motivated me to get my training in hypnotherapy through HMI, which is the Hypnosis Motivation Institute. They're a nationally accredited college of hypnotherapy. And from there, I opened a local hypnotherapy practice. I quit my job and I became a full-time self-employed business owner slash mom. And that really has just kind of snowballed into where I am. And there's, of course, other backstory as well, but that really is how I got to where I am today.
Wow. Well, listen, Alicia, where can listeners get more information about you?
So the best place is my website. That's aliciacramer.com, aliciacramer.com.
Wonderful. Well, listen, I want to thank, time has slipped right by us. I want to thank my audience for tuning in, and I want to thank our guest, Alicia Kramer, for joining us today. And next week's show, we'll have another guest who will talk about an ethical dilemma that he or she faced. So we invite you listeners to tune in next Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. And remember, I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I may not have all the answers, but I'll help you find them.